We're not going to get you to do the intro voice.
This is Russ Bain with Grove Bay Public Radio, but this is the Delta Green panel for Art Green Publishing. So
shut up,
Shane
Ross.
Ivey, Dennis Stetwiller, Greg Solzi, Kenneth Hydens, Adam Scott Glancy, so.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. So.
Thanks for coming out.
The show's over.
I don't think we're gonna get a higher crest than that. So
I thought the book would be a lot harder than that. Now we're done. Let's all go.
Thanks. Let's everyone write down in 10,000 word chunks what your favorite part of the book was. Yeah. And pass the forward to the name.
Spelling counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Shane Ivey, if you don't know me already, and this is Dennis Detwiller and Greg Stolze and
Ken Height.
Oh, sorry, and Scott Glancy at the end.
He's refusing to say Ken's name
because he might summon
Kenneth.
I'm already here, dude.
The illustrious Kenneth Height.
Yeah,
the better
but he
part.
Knows you'd have to get through me and Dennis first. He's hoping he can make a run for it while he's delayed.
I just have to be faster than Stolze.
So this is the we are the sort of primary movers on the Delta Green role-playing game. John Scott Tynes couldn't make it tonight on account of he never
Rich.
Does
Microsoft.
Anything. Yeah,
personal wealth on
yeah.
account of personal wealth and
hermitage.
Yeah. So
better priorities.
Yeah. Tynes,
a generally nobler spirit all around.
When was the last time anyone saw him in the flesh? Anyway,
I saw him not too long ago. He's still real.
Sure?
Yes. I saw him fairly recently, I think.
It's not just a brain in the jar. We've been
he makes drinks on his Porsche.
He vouchsafed an appearance to
a while back.
Peter and to many of the disciples, I think.
So the Delta Green game, I sort of half-assed announced it last year at one of these panels, and then we talked about it a good bit online, and we've been
stopped talking to each other.
Kind of.
I then talked about it some more.
Yeah, we've been sort of hashing things together for it along the way. So I think what we can do here is give sort of a status check and talk a little bit about what we're wanting to do with it. And what we want the game to do that it hasn't done previously in its Call of Cthulhu incarnation, and then I guess answer questions unless there are specific things that some of the guys bring up that I didn't really know about ahead of time. So first and foremost, just the basics. Delta Green, of course, started as a Cthulhu Mythos supplement, you know, a setting thing. It was originally an adventure and then a source book, but it's always been devoted to the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game, and everything is hinged on the rules in the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. And that's something that we're not losing sight of as we're developing, you know, a new thing.
Locked.
Oh, can somebody unlock the back door or prop it slightly open or something? Thanks. So, in the one of our key tenets in the Delta Green role playing game is while we want it to be a standalone game, so that it's self contained, so that when you buy the core game, you can play the core game without getting curious whether you need to buy another game book or what parts of another game book you need to leave out or what's going to be differently. We want it to be a standalone thing, but at the same time, it's very, very important to us that it interact with everything else that we've been doing since 1993 in Delta Green.
Backwards compatibility.
That's the word. So, so that means that when you look at a Delta Green role-playing game stat block, number one, you'll be able to make sense of it without having to do a whole lot of research. Number two, you can use it in another incarnation of Call of Cthulhu, maybe with some elements of 7th accepted from what I've heard, but mainly you could use it in Call of Cthulhu, and if you have a Call of Cthulhu stat block, especially one from a Delta Green book, you're going to be able to use it in the Delta Green role-playing game. We have the very great advantage of advantages of number one. Most of what we need to do that might be proprietary in terms of game mechanics and game design, which that's a whole iffy topic of its own, but that might be Mongoose put out under the Open Gaming license a while back, and as far as I know, nobody's tried to take it back. And that basically opens up pretty much most of the basics of what we wanted to do with our game. So there's going to be a lot of, in the mechanics, there's going to be a lot of little wrinkles, you know, and things to highlight the specific things that Delta Green does as a game and as a game setting, and the kind of the experience of Delta Green characters that's different from 1920s Call of Cthulhu investigators in some ways. But the core mechanic, you know, it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. You know, you're going to roll percentile dice, and you're going to roll under your skill, and if you don't, then everybody's going to go home weeping.
This works pretty good with BRP. Yeah. Let's change it completely. Yeah. Or or Plan B.
Right. So we went with Plan B. So the rules are you know, they're not revolutionary. That doesn't mean we're not working on them hard. I sort of gave an initial gloss on my take of you know, the sort of stuff I wanted the rules to do for Delta Green. And because I'm a really fiddly rules guy, they were kind of really over designed, you know, and so then
roll to walk across the room, you fail.
And no, it's not that. It's just detail, you know. It's detail-y bullshit that I probably would hate if I read it in somebody else's game, you know. But,
so we deleted all that.
Yeah. So then we erased it. Now, well, I handed that off to Greg and basically told him, you know, fix this and kill.
And he did by erasing it.
How to kill? How deeply do you want me to cut?
Right. Yeah.
Do I have to stop when I hit bone?
Right. And the answer is no. So we've been sort of going back and forth on that, and then everybody else is sort of they're going to be there to you know, periodically check the progress, you know, and
check meaning slow down.
Yeah, well, you know, make sure that we're not fucking something up irreparably in the Delta Green experience by fooling around with all these fancy rules things. And what else? So, you know, what we've been talking about doing with the game is we really want we want to be able to tell Delta Green players, or show Delta Green players even better, not just how you make up a character, but how you can roleplay those characters effectively. And that's a big challenge in Delta Green, because most of the Delta Green characters are really specialized. You know, they're police officers, or federal police officers, or special forces guys, or, you know, whatever, intelligence agents. You know, people that sort of live in a whole world of really specific procedures and policies and ways of talking and ways of behaving. And some of that, you know, reasonably ought to show up in gameplay. That's always been kind of an assumption in Delta Green, is that people are, you know, you're playing those characters. You want to feel like you're playing that character, you know, not like Joe Normal with a badge. And
I'd like to expand on that.
Sure.
As the idea, the way I see it, is that you have to strike this balance between, on one hand, you know, having enough information. On one pole, you have, here's all the information about what it's like to be an FBI serial killer profiler. And, you know, on the other end is, you know, well, just do whatever you want. And people have a different comfort zone. If we give you too much, if we are too detailed and too confining and too precise, it's going to make people feel straitjacketed when they're like, okay, am I playing my serial killer profiler right? Did I get the detail wrong? Am I wearing the kind of shoes that a serial killer profiler would wear? What about, you know, what are the forms I have to fill out after writing up my profile? And on the other hand, you know, so you don't want to go too far in that direction. You don't want to go too far in the direction of, I'm a serial killer profile, so I make profiles of serial killers.
I shoot it.
So you need to find the creamy middle.
Yeah.
And then stab it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do is find the, and, you know, and it's going to be different for different groups, is that, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, yeah, gloss over the details of how you lift a fingerprint. And others are going to be like, oh, no, you lift a fingerprint just so. Mm-hmm. I use toner. So you need to, and I think one of the things that we'd really like to do is get people to be okay with having, you know, different degrees of precision for that sort of thing, for the procedural aspect.
So the depth of tradecraft that's going to be portrayed in any given profession that's part of Delta Green.
And that it's okay to have players, you know, different players in the same group who have different levels of knowledge. And so, you know, I would try. Remind me to write up some advice for, you know, here's how to not be a dick if your GM knows less about, you know, what it's like to be a special forces soldier than you do.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's inevitably part of it, you know. I mean, we're going a little on about this because this is something we've been talking about very specifically this weekend, you
this
know.
This is what
and
we've been going on about.
And, and it's, but it's an interesting challenge, you know. The original Delta Green book had a little bit of information in there about what's life like as a FBI agent who's also secretly investigating all this stuff and murdering people. And but it was sort of buried, you know. And
we just sort of presumed you'd seen all the same films and references and books that we had. So
yeah, we were wrong.
We were,
What do
you mean
so,
you never read Beyond the Body Farm? It's a seminal classic.
the other thing I really want to just jump in and say, first of all, that we might have missed is, this will update Delta Green to the modern era.
Oh, yeah.
This, your timeline will come forward.
Delta Green is a modern thing. It's not a 1990s thing.
It's
modern day. And, I mean, the fact is that everything that's been done for Delta Green being set in the 1990s is an artifact of the fact that we sort of stopped writing for Delta Green for a long run. You know, we're writing Delta Green, the role-playing game, as it's the modern day, and that's going to mean it's the year, you know, 2013.
Say 13.
Let's say 13. Why not?
Yeah, let's say hypothetically.
I've been writing 2014 with the assumption that it'll come out in 2013 and that people will play it mostly in 2014. But
that's about suddenly in 2015.
Yeah.
But you know the thing I really want to say there is that the organization will have changed in that time.
Yeah.
It is not the same thing.
So
if you want to play the cowboy era, we feel we have kind of sunk a huge Conan-sized sword in the cowboy era and gone, this is it. It is the 1990s.
You've got those ingredients.
If you want to carry that forward.
You want to do the cowboy era, you are spoiled for choice.
Yeah. But we will actively be updating the timeline to reflect the changes we feel would have occurred due to many different factors. So it won't just...
Which are actually from the real world.
Yes, yes, just like the original Delta Green. So I think that's an important point. But more to the point, what Shane was going on about is teaching players and keepers to create and run a session. How to run a Delta Green session is just as important as how to play in a Delta Green session. And we failed to do either of those things in the original Delta Green, barring two paragraphs buried in the introduction somewhere, I think.
Yeah, or in one of the appendices.
Yeah, so I think...
Our original plan that every game would come with a Dennis or a John.
Yeah.
It didn't pan out the way we hoped it would.
Cloning technology has not caught up.
So, you know, we did have the advantage that Delta Green appealed really, really hard to gamers that were in that demographic, like me, you know, but, and there were a lot of us, but we're definitely interested in helping people find, helping people play that and get a sense of that experience, even if they haven't spent all their lives, you know, watching all the same crazy stuff and reading the same crazy stuff we have. So it's going to be the core of that challenge is basically giving enough details to allow people to immerse themselves just enough in that world
and
those procedures in order to enjoy it and not have to do it more than that.
Yeah, while at the same time making sure people have enough freedom that they can play their character and feel comfortable and confident playing their character the way they want. We want the uncertainty in this to be, you know, We want the uncertainty to arise from the circumstances of the character, not from, am I playing my character right?
Yeah, and of course, bearing in mind that ultimately even Delta Green is not actually a game about playing an FBI agent. You know, it's a game about horror and supernatural horror.
All right, I got to ask. Let me pitch something to Ken here.
Okay.
See how he swings at it.
In front of the straights?
Yeah. They're cool, man.
All right.
Is horror the hardest kind of game to run?
It certainly is a more challenging kind of game to run than most of the kinds of games that get run. I would say that a game about an actual genuine love story is probably the hardest to run. But compared to adventure, compared to escapism, compared to travelogue, compared to military tactics, compared to the zillion other kinds of games that are being run in this very building, horror is harder to run because it depends on reaching an emotional core and communicating that emotional core among the player group.
So one of the things I think we all agree we want to do with Delta Green is make it easier and offer a lot of support and advice for how you do that. Even if you are not an old grognard who has been playing horror games for 20 or 30 years, my goal is to have...
Even if you are an old grognard.
Yes. Well, you know, you can. There's always room for improvement. I mean, I'm always picking up, you know, this or that and going, oh my God, how come I never scared him that way before? And, you know, horror really thrives on novelty and on the surprise. So you have constantly got to up your game and keep pushing it. But I would very much like this game to focus on helping people do that and showing them, you know, okay, this is the very practical ways that you do this. These are the steps you take, and this is, you know, why you're looking for more structure for GMs, and you know, this is how you craft a Delta Green adventure so that you don't just have to, you know, run the many that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how you make it personal to your players.
Yeah, and I think that's why paying some attention to the procedures, to the details of what's life like for these characters is valuable, because it helps you identify with the characters. It helps you feel a little bit of a sense of, this is my character's life. And the more you can feel empathy with your character, the more interesting it's going to be.
Yeah, when you die. Yeah.
When you play a scenario designed by Dennis.
Yes.
And by worse, we mean better.
Yeah.
Love is hate.
it's pretty clear that you have to throw things into stark relief. And if you're continuously pestering the player with, you know, and another deep one comes out, you know, it's going to run off the track super quick.
Especially if you do it in your cardinal voice.
Yeah. And the right is the deep one. Yeah, no, what you really want is to have a mundane life, to have a family, I have to pay my cell phone. It's going to get cut off. And, you know, that fucker Steven Alzis is calling me all the time. You know, my kid Cindy.
Doesn't he know that I don't have the right plan for this?
Oh, that's where the cell phone subsystem comes in.
Yeah. Cindy's at soccer practice and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you hit them with the horror. Yeah. That's when the horror is really
That actually is something that we're paying attention to in the rules in terms of giving options for providing structural ways to focus on your character's relationships with the real world and making them meaningful for your character and valuable to your character, even if you're only interested in this having a high enough sanity to make your sand rolls.
Yeah, literally, you're getting sand points back by playing ball with your kid, but that also means that's a big button that the keeper can step on to throw you back the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of missing ingredient in Delta Green has always been the assumption that you're playing these characters who are at horrible risk of losing everything for the sake of doing what they're doing, you know, that they're FBI agents or DEA agents or whatever, you know, and they're this close to somebody catching on to the fact that they've been doctoring paperwork, you know, and doing all these ridiculously horrible crimes that could get them the chair in most states if they get caught. You know,
or
and
lethal injection.
Or lethal injection. You're right. The chair is pretty uncommon these days.
Although, again, part of the new Delta Green is that there are trade-offs. If you don't want to have to live that life, But the trade-off is that you have to file TPS reports with guys who are sending you off to do horrible things that would get you the chair if you didn't have government-built deniability and clearance.
But don't worry, their agenda is pure.
Yeah. Just like everything else the government does.
Yeah.
We're in there for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Majestic's totally gone. Like, gone. So, yeah.
Everything's fine.
None of those guys are around.
And by none of them, we mean none of the really bad ones. I mean, obviously, there's some support staff that has to be carried over. You know, guys who know where the copy maker was. Things like that. You know.
We lost track of 2,800 of them with 40,000 dumb bullets and a bunch of MP5s, but I'm sure they can't be a problem.
Yeah, most of them were in NRF Delta, and they're probably taking care of themselves.
They've all been pensioned off, and
that's the
satellite agency, isn't it?
I believe they're with Blackwater now.
Yeah. Well, there was Blackwater involved. I'm not sure. I didn't see the memo, but it's in the files if you want to go look.
Yeah. So
ask the old Majestic guy who runs the file room. Yeah.
So the other things we really want to hit in the core rulebook for the Keeper are, you know, magic and monsters and creating, appropriate spell effects and creating your own monsters and great old ones. And
yeah. Our touchstones there are kind of twofold. Number one, hewing really, really close to Lovecraft.
To the literary material.
And specifically to the sort of the Lovecraft cycle that kind of had everything in common. You know, there are some of his stories that we're not outliers. Really going to pay attention to because they were outliers. He knew they were outliers. And but at the same time, providing tools for adapting and customizing and, rebuilding and rebranding that stuff for yourself, just in case your fellow players have also been playing Call of Cthulhu and have had every iteration of the rulebook going back 20 to 30 years. So those are for me, those are sort of the two main touchstones. Is we want to give sort of the default to be really, you know, really pure to what Lovecraft wrote, and not so much to what everyone else wrote afterward. And but at the same time, you know, make it so that you can tweak it and adjust it in order to make it new. And there's been a lot of groundwork laid for that by other writers, who I'm sure we're gonna rip off.
I know I am.
Let's see. So what else?
What else are we willing to talk about?
Oh, I'll talk about stuff.
Anybody have any specific questions they'd like to ask?
So far, Q&A. Sure. Yeah. Any big questions? Mini questions?
Big stretchy cosmic questions.
Yeah.
So when the core rulebook comes out, and you want to do reverse compatibility, is it going to be pretty much the core rulebook is going to just have the arc stone, you know, here are the rules, and then you're going to have, like, if you want to pull a countdown, if you want to pull targets, you want to pull any of that for just that time period, and then you're going to do, like, flavor material for additional books for this time era, and then as you go forward, and just leave that book alone, or
There's going to be some overlap, because there's a lot of material that went into the Delta Green core book that's going to be repurposed and rewritten for the sake of the new one, because it was there and it was good. It's worth paying attention to. The chapters where we cover some of the similar material in the core game that was covered in previous stuff, you know, there may be a little overlap there, but this is whatever it is 15 years later, and you're not writing about the same people anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to go into super detail on, like, the birth of Delta Green or anything like that. I mean, I would guess we're going to explain what Delta Green is, and we're going to move on to the modern era.
The birth of Delta Green is a page.
And much of the reason for that is that the player characters won't necessarily need to know that or be able to find it out without that being the focus of, you know, the adventure. So, you're in this thing that called Delta Green now. Oh,
yeah.
What exactly does that mean? Well, here's your briefing document. read it in my presence, sign it out, sign it back in, don't make any copies, don't make any notes, don't talk with it about anyone. This is 3 pages. What are we going to be doing? That varies from case to case. Well, where did we come from? Where did this come from? Who's in charge?
Top man.
I don't like this wording, in perpetuity, physical, you know, like, so... I mean,
that's just legal.
I would go out on a limb and say a lot of people running this game immediately drop the entire what I would consider the prize. They're just kind of like, Delta Green's a secret agent, and we're running around, and we're illegal. And their players are like, okay, and go out and do stuff. And we definitely don't want to. We want to show a way where you can just kind of slowly unveil that over time. Scare the hell out of your players, to think they're totally legal, to have them do really stupid shit, and then to just hang that over their heads for the rest of their lives. Yes?
One of the things that I've noticed running Call of Cthulhu for, God, almost 30 years now, I've seen this evolve more or less in modern times, is people don't want to play because they don't feel like they can win the game.
Yeah, you can't win Delta Green either. Sorry.
Yeah,
there aren't many ones.
No, I mean, that's the horror conundrum. You know, you're not playing to win. You're not playing to win the game. You know, you're playing to win this moment. You know, I mean, you know, we're all human beings. We're not going to win. You know, in a few years, I'm going to be dead. You know, so is everybody at this table. Sorry, guys. And,
I mean, how many years exactly are you talking about?
I'm guessing 17.
I have it on
months.
Very good information, in fact. So
there's a bomb in the room.
You know, what makes Call of Cthulhu thrilling for me, and therefore Delta Green thrilling for me, is you know, the sort of the power fantasy is about overcoming the inertia of that despair. And kicking ass anyway. The Delta Green agents can do that. They might get fired for it, go to prison, but you know they can do that in style.
Have their lives ruined, or
lose their families.
But
and
I'd,
go
say,
back
I'd say that's a classic problem on all fronts. It just has different faces and different genres. It's
D&D.
It's just like I want to win every combat.
It's nobody really wants to go the whole Nietzschean route, apparently, where you know. What is it? It's something. The real expression of the human spirit is in the struggle, not it's in the process, not the outcome.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nietzsche got that much right.
Can we get the licensing rights for the myth of Sisyphus?
Sure.
Yeah.
I know a guy.
So yeah, I mean that challenge that problem is ultimately still going to be there. I mean, you know, we'll write it in such a way to sort of capture what we think is awesome about engaging in that struggle, even though in the long run it's not like you're going to fix everything. You know, I mean, my wife's a deputy sheriff. You know, she's not going to fix crime. You know,
what's she hiding?
doctors aren't gonna keep any of us alive forever. You know, nobody that does anything really worthwhile is doing it with the same expectation that they're gonna fix everything.
It's short term
victories. You know, that you can take pleasure in.
And again, I mean, it's not like nobody wants to play Call of Cthulhu. Yeah. Millions of people want to play Call of Cthulhu. You know. This is so not the hardest job in role playing.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, there are going to be players that don't want that, that want to be able to win the fight, not lose the character in the process, not really have a really strong chance of losing the character in the process, and enjoy leveling up and getting more and more and more powerful. And you know what? That's cool. Exactly. I've played those games, and they can be fun, but that's not this one. You know, and if anybody comes into it thinking it is, they're not going to have a good time. And if I go into a Pathfinder game thinking it's going to be Call of Cthulhu, I'm not going to have a good time. So that's, you know, you got to write what you're going to write.
You talked about how you're updating Delta Green and Majestic 12, or you kind of hinted at that. Is there anything you want to talk about? Any of the other factions, like, you know, obviously the
Fae Tech, gone.
Oh, really?
Caretaker was always designed to be the guys the players could beat the shit out of and have a reasonable expectation of winning in the Delta Green book. In the first book, they were the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm. And sometime in the last 15 years, someone did.
Somebody punched their clock. Yeah. They're done. Yes, there's skinheads and Nazis around, but those three assholes from South America, they're all taking a dirt nap. Over.
So if you haven't played that out with your group, go ahead and do it now.
Just wait.
We have specific ideas for a bunch of factions. The Fate will be nothing remotely like it is now.
Really?
Okay.
Oh wow.
I didn't know that.
It will be.
Surprise!
You know what?
It's gonna be Amway.
Nobody did that.
Have you heard about that?
Right.
Yes, please.
And
yes,
you know, we have some other ideas for Outlook Group and some other weird things.
I know what's going on with Outlook.
Yeah, are you guys gonna do anything with private security firms?
Not a lot, because I mean, basically, as we're envisioning, I mean, they're obviously there, you know, and they're obviously getting used and getting employed to do all kinds of shenanigans, but they're probably not going to have much of a direct role in what Delta Green is doing, unless it's the old standby of getting past the Wackenhut guards. I mean,
there's already two private security firms in Cult of Transcendence, so yeah. Go pick one of those.
But they're not likely to be Delta Green agents.
You know, I did think of a new, if you ever do a Kickstarter for the new Delta Green book, $1,000 reward, be the cell that beat up the Karateki and killed
them. That's a good idea.
That works.
You and the green shirt have been raising your hand regularly.
Yes. Yeah, fairly minor thing, but we still have Cthulhu, Zathogwa, will we have those names?
Yes.
Those are public domain. Anything that Lovecraft wrote in his Mythos, anything he wrote is public domain, because the good people at Weird Tales never renewed any of the copyrights.
Yeah.
So.
But we will also go out of our way to teach you how to name them other things in different books, yes. Because the idea that it's Cthulhu Mark II and Divinus Mysterious.
I really feel strongly about giving game masters the tools to change up the mythology, you know, and also to allow players.
It's not like any author ever added anything to it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that, like, we ran a session with Black Cod Island, and the players read a book, and they were expecting a deep one to come out, and this giant fucking thing the size of a boat comes out and starts eating agents. And one of the guys is like, "It's Cthulhu! It's Cthulhu!" He's like running away screaming, and I'm like, "Well."
Okay.
That's what you think.
You know, if I'd gone and go, it's Dagon, you know, they'd be like, it's going to be a giant guy, right? 32 hit points.
Right.
You know, like, so.
He totally can't regenerate.
Yeah. We can take him, you know. So you want to.
In your face, Dagon.
Instead, they got eaten.
But yeah, I think you can generally assume that anything public domain mythos is fair game for us.
Yeah, we will.
And we have some specific ideas for some other stuff, but. I suspect, would that be telling still, Shane?
No, I think, I don't really care too much about keeping deep secrets, okay. You know, as far as that goes. We've worked stuff out with Colin Wilson to use basically as much of his mythology as we need to, and we are going to. And
Ken's going to do it.
And, so yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then,
Ken's been pushing that.
You know, I mean, as far as the mythos stuff, the only big sort of question mark that we're still working out is Ramsey Campbell's material and figuring out how much of that is sort of fair game because it's the Cthulhu mythos and everybody writes about everything, and how much of it we need to, you know, get officially cleared, you know, and that's we hadn't done that yet, basically, because I'm lazy, but we'll sort that out. You know, the core sort of mythology of Delta Green doesn't touch too often on that material. So worst case scenario, we save it for later,
or we blow up Pisces and never explain why.
Yeah. So as a continuation of that, then there was a certain mythos group that was very closely tied with Majestic 12, and if there's been significant changes there, would we be seeing a new long-term,
which
closely
group,
tied.
Which group would that be?
I think they were called Greys. I never found out what they were about.
What are you talking about? The Greys are just puppets.
I can speak pretty clearly about that. I mean, we're in agreement on that.
The Greys checked out.
They left in the 90s. Majestic pretended they were around for a little bit longer.
After the X-Files got canceled, they were like, well, if you don't want us, we don't want you.
They heard Jillian and Duchovny and
their new dupes were not working out the way they hoped. Mm-hmm. They abandoned them.
There were some other very interesting groups that I would like to see tied in, and I can do them myself, but it would be nice to have you guys do that for me.
Are you talking about Nordics or Reptoids or any of that stuff?
Yes.
The oranges. Right.
I think there may be room for some of it, but I don't know. I want to see how Scott handles that, because he's the one that did that.
He's
stuff
in charge
best.
Of Nordics and Reptoids.
You know, some of it feels a little.
But not the oranges and the very talls. That's great.
Oh yeah. So the big nose grays.
The big nose grays. You mean the Jews?
Stay on the
spoiler.
DennisDetwiller.com.
Direct your hate mail to DennisDetwiller.
Save for the benefit of our internet audience.
That's right. Protocols of the Elder. What now?
Elder Zeta Reticuli 3.
Things. Yeah.
So if you've hit on like a bunch of stuff that has checked out or is not around because it's not 90s. What are like some of the things we can sort of, without giving away too much, what are some of the new things that we can expect? Like what sort of group would we expect?
Well, should I talk about the aspect I want to push?
Sure.
All right.
It might not make it in.
With
the caveat,
Ken's Pokemon might be super effective against mine,
we're still working on this. This is a work in progress.
Do we count to the fact
that anything that we say might get the axe at some point?
Do we count to the fact that last meeting we sat down and said, all right, everybody come up with your list of antagonists you want to push. We're all going to come up with a short list and smash them together until we find the four of them that are going to be sort of the main antagonists of the book.
The initial thrust.
And yeah.
The idea I'm pushing is the idea of sort of the technologies that Majestic got. The chicken feed that Majestic scratched up out of the dirt has now spread out, and that there is a lot of very, very ill-considered experimentation going on in black sites throughout the United States and throughout the world. And that, you know, I'm like, this is what I want people to be finding, is that, you know, okay, yeah, you know, we joined Delta Green and we've been fighting these monsters, and then we find there's these other guys and, you know, they are working with unbelievably dangerous technologies that blew up in their face in a way that, you know, creates hideous human, civilian tragedies, and I recognize the signature on the pay stubs of their checks because it's the same guy who signs mine. That's where I'm pushing that. I want to go there. I want to go there and build a little.
Having destroyed Majestic, all the stuff they were keeping to themselves has filtered out into the.
We call it sector. The dandelion seed. You know, once you've blown the dandelion seeds, they're everywhere on the lawn. Yeah, the guy back there in the NASA shirt, I saw you.
Yeah. Will Majestic be replaced by the laundry?
No.
No. Next question.
No, absolutely.
No, I mean we said this last year, or at least I did. I love the laundry. I love it. It's great, but it's not Delta Green, and it's not going to be Delta Green. You know the. The Majestic would be replaced by the laundry if, in sort of the wet dreams of the Majestic administrators. You know, unfortunately, they life doesn't work that well that way for them, and especially with the kinds of things that they're sticking their fingers in all the time. It's just, you know, things don't go to plan. It doesn't go to plan for Delta Green either. It's going to be nowhere near as upbeat and together. And
that's another thing I really want the book to hit, which is everybody seems to be kind of operating under the assumption that with the war on terror, it just means, wow, cool, you know.
Unlimited funding, I'm getting a flat screen.
Yeah, we're omnipotent now.
Well, did you ever hear the story about the flat screens in Iraq? Someone was, I'm trying to remember where I read this, but this guy was like, yeah, you know, there was so much money floating around that, you know, at one time I distinctly remember a semi-trailer truck full of flat screen TVs, you know, high definition plasma screen TVs pulled up, and they're like, here, take them. You know, we've bought these now. We needed to spend the money because otherwise it would have been deallocated from the budget. So just take these and do something with them. You know, teleconference. They're for teleconferencing is what they are.
They're teleconferencing between tents.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up. You get up.
And, that, you know, there's this massive cash spillage. And so, you know, the idea that, oh, well, probably some of that sloshed into Delta Green. Yeah,
sure.
Probably some of that did.
I think the important bit is that Delta Green, every decade, it gets worse.
No money.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
not
being able to being able to correlate your contents more effectively, you know, is not going to make life better in the world of Delta Green.
So the illusion that suddenly Delta Green will be elevated to a status with a headquarters and a helicopter and their own jetpacks.
These rules.
Helicopter, yes. Jetpacks.
Helicopter, yes, with a lot of work.
Yeah. The helicopter will get you where you're going faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Enjoy that.
That means your life just got 2 days shorter.
Yes?
The players in my group really loved the secret conspiracy aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. Lied to superiors and the and so on. How much of that is going to be left into the new...
It didn't go anywhere.
All of it.
It'll still be going on.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that agreement really legit?
Well,
what is
that depends on what you mean by Delta Green, really, and legit.
Right.
that sounds flippant. We have literally had that debate for months on the mailing list.
And that is a pretty thorough answer to your question because, you know, what is Delta Green these days is not going to be easy for your player characters to answer, and none of your NPCs should be willing to answer it, at least not honestly.
So for example,
you know what Delta Green is? Yeah. It's your security clearance. Uh-huh. It's right there on that card that you're not supposed to ever show anyone.
So for example, you might work in the NRO. You are assigned to a task force. You are removed. You report to the person who's drafted you into Delta Green. They send you on some mission. You're legally away from the NRO.
It's counterterrorism.
They know you're reassigned, but you have to lie to everybody at the NRO. After you see the tentacular thing on Owl's Head Mountain, you go back shaking.
So where were you for the last week?
Vermont. Nowhere.
I was doing team building exercises in Vermont. Team building.
I miss my team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more like.
But that was a great building.
Yeah. Team rebuilding exercises. Hand me the tape.
And unfortunately, you know, even the people that you're reporting to, it's gonna, you know, it ought to always feel like a crapshoot whether you're doing a good thing by reporting to them. You know, this is a world that's filled with people misusing authority.
And that doesn't get better in a world where
some of that authority can get infected by and interact with the supernatural of the Cthulhu Mythos variety.
Even worse, cowboy agents might never have come in from the original conspiracy.
You may be running into folks that are being like, who are going to tell you, oh, you think you're Delta Green.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Not.
We are. We're Delta Green.
We know who you work for. You don't.
Yeah, so imagine it getting... imagine what your players are running right now, probably with a second conspiracy laid across the top of it.
The people that they're lying to are way better at finding out those lies now.
And I want it to be a completely legitimate, fair option to be like, you know, nope, I'm going to play this straight. I'm going to be the good doobie. I'm going to follow the orders of my... You know, my superiors within Delta Green and lie to my superiors within the Navy, and, you know, and I will fill out those forms and that, you know, okay, yeah, you know, you will keep jumping through the hoops as long as they put hoops up in front of you, and they will, you know, they will throw you treats for that. You know, if you are a good little performing SEAL and can balance that ball, you will get a lot of herring. But they are going to keep asking you to balance bigger balls and jump through nastier hoops.
There was a quote. I don't remember who originally said it. I read it in a book a long time ago about the FBI, where FBI agents tend to get recruited and be really enthusiastic, you know, about joining the FBI, really, really gung-ho for the kind of work they're going to be doing, you know. And then the saying is that FBI, for FBI agents, is you come to love the FBI, the FBI is never going to love you. You know, that's in a world that's way, way, way more happy-go-lucky than what Delta Green agents have to deal with.
And something I'm trying to kind of, you know, come to grips with myself is the idea of, okay, what is the right way to confront the mythos, right? And the answer is, there's no one right way.
Yeah, the right way is to run.
It's like the right recipe for plutonium. Once you've gotten to that point, the best way to pick up the plutonium.
Sometimes if you run, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, you ran, and the monster didn't kill you, and instead it, you know, overwhelmed. Yeah, it went and ate at kindergarten. Good job, hero.
but
you're alive.
Yep.
No, I outrun the guilt.
Yeah. Okay, give me a running roll.
By running, you mean drink.
Well, that's good for pluses on your running roll. But
yeah. I outrun the guilt.
Oh, man. I have a blue shirt. I don't know if Dennis has seen
Yes.
So I was just going to ask, maybe you can't say anything about it, what about the other guys who are sort of fighting mythos, like Pisces and...
Well, was Pisces fighting the mythos? That's hilarious.
I thought they were.
I'll admit I haven't really... It'll depend on what we do with Candel's material, how much we do with Pisces. I'll admit, considering the way the Russians are going these days, that I think that the possibility that GRU, SV8, was going to be somebody that Delta Green could work with are gone. That ever could have had, if that was happening maybe post-2000, right now in the Russia that Putin runs, no, those guys, their mission has been changed. They're probably a problem. And the kind of problem where it'll be not, we worship Yog-Sothoth because it fell to earth in Tunguska in, you know, 1908, but more along the lines of, I'm sure we can use these goodies to make the world scared of us again.
Weaponizing the mythos is this is the best idea we've ever had. I can't imagine anything that could possibly go wrong.
Yeah. Well, you're missing the main component, which is it's cheap. We already have all the stuff.
Right.
Let's just break
it
out.
And again, it's not, if you look at the real world, right? I mean, Putin is a bad dude in the real world. He is in tight with the FSB in the real world. The CIA and the FSB still cooperate all the time on one-off missions or places where CIA has no assets and FSB does have assets, like, say, Central Asia. And there are lots and lots of times where the CIA has to walk in and the FSB...
And hold their nose.
And then do a favor for the FSB. You know, we are grabbing this guy out of Georgia and dropping him off at a Soviet... Well, they don't have black prisons because they're all black, but, you know, at a Russian depot somewhere. And that's the kind of job you're going to have to do if you're official Delta Green, because GRU SV8, we know they're bad news, but they're the only people with ears on this particular death cult in Tajikistan.
Yeah.
And if we want to get into that death cult before it stops, you know, before it can eat too many more Marines in Afghanistan, we have to work with these guys.
But don't tell them anything.
Yeah, yes. But don't tell them anything and lie to them. And, you know, and so the real world is full of god-awful compromises with god-awfulness. When you add the Cthulhu mythos to that, it does not make the compromises better, easier, or less god-awful.
Yeah.
Was there...
Just more necessary.
Yeah.
Somebody was, who wandered up to our booth and made some comment about, what if Relia had risen from the deep right in the middle of the Battle of Leyte Gulf? Would it have been cool if the Japanese and Americans had all turned around and, you know,
and fought gone all the way across?
And fought the mythos. I'm like...
And died.
No, they wouldn't have. They're just because... what appears to be a bigger problem turns up doesn't mean the monkeys are suddenly going to get their act together and realize they should, you know, cooperate. That's just not going to happen.
No, if you want to play, you know, unit versus the mythos, you know, go.
It's a different game.
Play a different game.
Might be fun, but it's not us.
So, talking about the Middle East, obviously the U.S. is involved in the U.S. in the Middle East for the past 10 more years. It's a big part of the zeitgeist and American culture and how we move forward. I assume that's also going to be reflected.
Did mention John?
How much of a role is that going to play? How much find in the sands out there, you know, that have been just laying, sleeping, and let the Taliban have been keeping at bay, and now that the U.S. has come in and upset the balance, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a possibility for something like that. That sounds a little more like a really good scenario idea than a setting element. You know, I'm kind of averse to the notion of the war on terror was really a covert
for the real war.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
the war on terror is the war on terror.
So you know, I could see something like, you know, something like that cropping up as an adventure idea. That actually sounds pretty cool. But the war on terror is there, and it happened. But it happened because assholes hit the two Twin Towers with an airplane. You know, it didn't happen because they were inspired by 9/11.
And they did that because they were assholes, not because they were Azathoth worshippers.
Right.
They did not. Humanity did not need any alien help to come up with that idea.
And you'll notice that in the original Delta Green book, Scott avoided the on the nose conspiracy crap. Like, you know, like moon landings faked, Mego gate technology, Kennedy shot in the head.
The were running the death camps to raid near Lothotep.
You know, but doing something like the objective, or, you know, like having a book in the middle of Afghanistan, that sounds totally like a mission that
and
you could do.
And certainly the fact that Afghanistan and Iraq are there, and that we're going to have a presence there, it does mean that the government, there's more things, more land, more mythos landmines for them to step on because they're in places they've never been before. That the U.S. government and U.S. representatives and people who are going to have some contact with Delta Green and Delta Green connected people, they're going to be going to places where that Delta Green has never been before. The Pashtun, the Pashtun areas of Afghanistan.
I really want to, part of what I really want is the focus on the America, you know, America. Like, this is a national security agency. You know, you may go abroad to handle a problem in the U.S.
So for the core game is going to need some specificity. There's going to be lots of room to expand it.
Certainly, ideas about the Far East, but Dennis, I think came up with the right answer a couple nights ago. Is, okay, there may be far Eastern issues, but those issues should be coming here to America, not the Americans, not Delta Green agents going to the Far East.
You're going to have a hell of a time operating in China.
Yeah.
You know, skipping around like, we got to go do this. You're going to be like, in a jail.
And again, nothing is going to prevent you from setting your campaign and say, our Delta Green agents are CIA, NSA, Marine Force Recon or DevGru sent off to Tajikistan or China or Norway or whatever kind of, you know, godforsaken background. But the thing is that you're not going to... We're not going to be spending an awful lot of page space saying, here is the map of the secret Delta Green base outside Baghdad. That's not how Delta Green works, and B, that's
your keeper's job.
That's your keeper's job.
It's also a different kind of game at that point. It's a special forces game with the mythos tacked on top of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like great fodder for a source book. And not the not a large chunk of the core game, which is because it's going to need to kind of focus on the main experience of the Delta Green investigation.
You had a question earlier, didn't you?
What's going to happen to everyone's favorite Tinkers of Truth, Phenomenon X?
Yeah.
Phenomenex, they've probably been dumped and have gone to internet broadcasting.
Oh, yeah, they've been demoted. Now there's an internet podcast.
Yeah.
Which means their audience is huge.
Yeah, I know.
They keep getting more and more marginal.
Right. Yeah. It's just Karen Cola and some teenage intern now.
Tommy Prendergast and Karen Cola in a trailer somewhere.
Yeah. Sonia Dewey's off of being pretty elsewhere.
Yeah. Sonia Dewey's on the local news and they're hunting like this the skunk ape and the Jersey Devil and.
Yeah. And if you ask her about her Phenomenex work, she's not going to be happy with it.
Yeah. One of them may be a talking head that comes on Bigfoot Hunters or something.
Yeah. But I could definitely see them as still around beating the drum in a very weird way. Yeah.
I take it Saucer Watch as long as it's been.
Oh, they're casualties. They'll be casualties like Karatek.
Yeah.
Saucer Watch.
Yeah.
Everybody says the same thing.
So they could be squashed, like the Scopsy. The Scops were theirs so that the Delta Green agents could shoot the fuck out of them.
You just wanted to write about tentacular genitals. That's why they're there.
Who doesn't?
Really?
There's nothing to be written about the children of the worm either. There should be no assumptions made about that material as well.
I mean, this is sort of the overarching theme is that things have moved on since the books were written. We're moving the universe on. We're creating it as an attempt to write a 21st century role-playing game, not an expansion for a 1990s historical game.
Yes.
And the universe has changed. The nature of American and Western paranoia has changed, so our game, which is about paranoia, among other things, will likewise have changed.
In the 90s, we were scared of our government. Now we've got all kinds of new things to be scared of, too.
And our government.
And a better reason to be scared of our government.
Yeah.
One of the things we kind of agreed on at the last meeting is, the theme, where you're like, what's the theme? And the theme is, be careful what you wish for. I wish we could just snatch up the bad people and clap them in some horrible prison and torture them. Done!
Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Your Christmas letter is going to be something to see.
It's like saying, I wish I could get that helicopter support. We could go in and no one would know I was actually away from my job and I wouldn't go to jail if I got caught in Vermont. And then I can go see the horrible tentacle thing on the hill.
Congratulations. You can go see horrible tentacle things 30 times a year.
So I think that, what Greg is saying.
I wish we could get access to that great majestic technology, because I'm sure there's no booby traps in that cookbook.
No.
Or I wish someone would smash the Majestic Directorate and make them all seek work in the private. Oh, why did I even say that out loud? I mean, that's the goal of the game is to move the history on, not to provide a yearbook. It's not a class reunion for Delta Green. These guys are all, going to be people who got recruited, out of college after Delta Green was published. I mean, these people have a generational relationship with the old Fairfield gang.
I want to bring in, when I envision it in my mind, I see like three shiny as a new penny, FBI agents and the gal from the CDC with her chipper blonde bob, and they're like, we're in Delta Green, and this is going to be, we're really going to take it to the source of the problem. We're going to make a difference. And then there's like this guy working as a bag boy, and the controller of the three shiny new ones is like, we need you to come back, Stan. No, I don't want to go back. I'm happy sacking groceries. I did my time. Stan, we need you to come back. No, my manager here respects me. He treats me like a human being, damn it.
That's how a sane person would be acting.
Stan, we've got Maggie back. Maggie's okay now? Yeah, the Outlook group fixed her problem. All right, I'll come back for Maggie. And then the three, bright, shiny new ones are kind of laughing at the sad old people. And they're like, why do we have the pensioners with us?
Yeah, we have to carry these guys.
Until it gets really real.
What do we do with this guy? What do we do with this guy? He's a senator. He's a U.S. senator. And Maggie's like, it's okay. Let me show you. Oh, my God. You just killed a U.S. senator.
It's not like I used my service firearm.
Yeah.
Here's your gun back.
That's right.
Why did you think we put him in the bathtub? And that's, you know, that's my fantasy.
Yeah.
So you have been holding your hand up manfully. So
given it's been 15 years, both with you guys and in the world, where's Delta Green in another 15 years?
God, it depends on what the world
does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
with my diet, I won't have to worry about it.
I mean, a lot of it does depend on the outside world, on you know, the state of the nation, on whatever, right? I mean, if we're at war with China in 15 years, well,
okay, say that out loud.
We'll probably be too distracted to write Delta Green 3, but if we do, it'll probably be about a war with China. It's not going to be about some magical alternate history where, you know, President Kucinich evolved war.
Cruel empire of sand. Cthulhu's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give a shit about China.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the core problem is going to be the same 15 years from now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just as it was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, what's Chinese for Delta Green?
Yeah.
You'll be playing those guys.
So you're talking about kind of history shift, modern age. I've never played Delta Green, never read it. I'm kind of interested.
What are you doing? I'm interested. Come by my booth, we can fix this.
Okay,
so,
with
the new edition.
Greg, did you bring your service weapon?
The new edition, are you going to set stuff in stone? And, like, if I read the old stuff, I can just piece together where things are? Or am I going to get, like, a huge history lesson of, like, VHS?
No, you're not going to get a huge history lesson on what's in the previous books.
Okay.
No,
it'll be a
single page.
We wrote like what is it, 1,200 pages worth of those other books already.
They're gone. They exist.
They're out there.
And let that hero be a lesson to all of you who are like, what about this guy from page 4 to 37 of Countdown?
He's,
go back to page 437 of Countdown. Make it up.
He's forging a new path for himself.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, there's going to be references. You know, we'll have we'll have stuff in there about what became of Forrest James, and that may be important to the mythology.
Or it may not. That may be still
very sad. But
I know what I want to have happen. You know, Forrest James.
We all know what you want to have happen to Forrest James.
Do you like
Forrest?
You know, it's going to be about what is going on to look like right now.
He's okay.
You know, and what is it going to look like over the next couple of years? You know, until we've gotten far enough out that we need to update it again.
I mean, obviously, the goal is to both satisfy people who've been loyal fans of the franchise since 1997 or since 1993, really.
And complete.
And also to present a game that is as if the bunch of us had been obsessed with Lovecraft, you know, forever and decided, what would be awesome? To write a game that focuses modern paranoias through the clandestine world as poisoned by the ongoing toxin of the Cthulhu mythos, that would be an awesome game if someone wrote it.
Yeah.
And so if we can hit both of those notes, and then we will be providing what we want to provide. And people who come to it looking for every single data point about every single member of the, you know, we probably introduced, you know, hundreds of characters with stat blocks and thousands of characters with single line mentions by now in the course of the morass of Delta Green backstory. We're not putting all that into a new core book.
Details like that are what supplements and blog posts are for.
Yeah, I think it's highly likely you'll if you remember, Scott painted a really wonderful timeline very early in the book and just said, here's the 1940s, here's the 1950s, here's the a lot of information was thrown in there and was very clear. It was like, this happened, this happened, this happened. I think it's likely you'll see a lot of that stuff wrapped up with a single line. You know, Karateki destroyed, Bitterick killed in, Belize. And we may go into it in a supplement later, but it's unlikely you'll need to know much more than that.
Or in that instance, why bother? I mean, you can get the PDF or the POD paperback of the original Delta Green and play that out yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's
Scott said he's going to kill Karateki.
This is something I saw in particular working on the World of Darkness, the new breaking from the old. And it's really hard to attract a bunch of new fans and at the same time satisfy every single, I'm going to say impossible to satisfy every single one of your old fans. And, you know, it's like telling your wife, oh, honey, I love you so much that I want to get another wife so that I can love her as much, too. And so, you know, it's a hard sell, but, hey, you know, we're good at what we do. So if anyone can, she'll come around.
She'll come around.
I was going to say, go on. I'm going to write this down.
And your killer app would be what exactly?
Since we're all married, we're
just, you know, for entertainment purposes only, as they say on the website. The first and foremost goal is to make a game that does stuff in the modern era, and the second goal is to update Delta Green.
Yeah.
I think that's something we all agree on.
And they're not incompatible.
Yeah.
It's going to be tricky to get the balance right, but they're not at all incompatible.
Well, and again, I mean, if you look, for example, at Cult of Transcendence, which was teased in the first book, or whatever the hell it was.
Next year,
and
after Delta Green.
And then
right. Our first supplement is going to be...
And then Greg and I put it together, 10 years after that, and then it was another year in production. And by that time, anyone who had ever played anything with Cult of Transcendence was almost guaranteed to have been doing it wrong.
Right.
Right? You know, those people...
Including, I think, in parts, Ken's scenario that he put out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, including one of the authors.
That's always a good sign.
Yes. So I think that the people did not, by and large, you know, storm Shane's house with torches and burn him at the stake for getting Cult of Transcendence wrong. They said, oh, great, now we know what was going on all along. And hopefully that will be the response from the old fans when they look at our version of New Delta Green, because we are, honest to God, well, Dennis will, but the rest of us won't come over to their house, kick down their door, and make them play New Delta Green our way.
I'm a physical coward. I'll get someone to do it.
Yeah, probably Scott. Yeah.
Dennis makes a lot more money than me, so there's a possibility.
We can work something out.
But Scott Wiley's holding you at gunpoint. He'll be saying...
Scott Clancy is both affordable and well off.
Yeah, which is a good combo.
So the idea that we're gonna, all right, well, you know, certain groups are gonna be gone or wiped out, like the Karatek here,
or changed beyond.
You know, I suppose it is wiped out. Sure, there's gonna be guys who played their Karatek campaign, definitely. But what the fuck are we supposed to do about that?
Yeah, skip the line.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, gamers, you know, you're a creative lot. You're adaptable.
You will never make something that makes that perfectly satisfies every single person. There's just no overlap point in that Venn diagram.
We expect you guys to rip our material to shreds and put it in a blender and pour it into your game group in portions that fit. So.
And that's going to be the case, just as it always has. I mean the all the Delta Green material that's come out to date has been pretty optional, you know. I mean, I don't think at any point anybody in any of the books it's been said, you know, everything that you read in this book is necessary for your campaign.
Yeah, it'd be entirely possible to run
a Delta Green campaign, you know, that has that lacks the Cult of Transcendence entirely, you know, or that is Cult of Transcendence and nothing else that's been in any of the source books. You know,
if you ran it all simultaneously, you just could go next door and shoot the person assured that they're the mythos.
Yeah, it's like, that's right.
They're all supposed to be ideas, you know.
It's like, hey, Bob.
Well, I mean, I'm always concerned about the guy on the Committee of Evil White Guys who's like a simultaneous member of the Exalted Circle. He's on the Majestic Steering Group, and he's, you know,
which hat am I wearing?
Oh my God, the memos.
Is this Tuesday?
We're off the tap. Yeah, I should have thought today. This is just.
Cthulhu,
send a dozen orphans down to the seashore. Yeah. I mean, you know, with concrete tied around them.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Diddy Mao, Diddy Mao.
My outlook isn't working. The dates are all off.
What the hell? Is it noon in Zurich already? I've got to make a call to the, you know, Great Race of Yith or whatever. those poor guys that we put in charge of everything, I mean, they're just...
Well, being their personal assistant would really be bad.
Yeah, that would be about a hilarious workplace comedy.
You gotta spin up the time portal to talk to the Yithians.
That's right, yeah.
Hang on, starting up.
The body.
Exploding. Yeah.
That's right. Buffering.
Anybody else?
Put a hand up.
Yeah.
Does it get trickier now that in the 15 years or so there's been a lot more media properties treading similar space like Fringe and Supernatural and so forth?
None of them have done it remotely as well as John and Dennis and Scott did it back in 1993, so...
Thank you.
The fact that they've added Greg and me means that we're just going to knock it completely out of the park.
We're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, Fringe is fine. Supernatural is darling. I mean, all the stuff that has been going on, The X-Files, woohoo. But Green back in 1997 was a phenomenal achievement. It was just outstanding. And we did that, you know, one hand tied behind our back and not even knowing what popular culture was going to do with those same means. We're going to do it again with the means of the 21st century, and we're going to do another terrific job.
Yeah, I mean,
and we're all more experienced now.
Not a little more jaded.
What I think Delta Green always sort of had going for it was a kind of... I don't know, this isn't exactly right, but a kind of singularity of vision, you know. The game was not written by a single person. It was written by three guys. And those three guys don't all see, you know, completely eye to eye on every issue. And yet they had sort of a commonality in the way they were going to approach the way that that world works and the way that the supernatural affects that world. And that's what we're sort of retaining and focusing on really hard.
There's a lot of luck, though, involved in that. I don't really remember us having to powwow a lot about this. We'd write it, we'd exchange manuscripts, and we'd go, oh, that's fucking great! There was just that.
That was pretty much
involved.
We're in the same place.
But even so, that's what happened, you know?
Oh, no,
it offers a pretty specific experience. You know, it's not... Playing Delta Green is not the same experience as watching or even playing a role playing game version of The X Files or Friends
or The Laundry
or whatever. Even where there's commonalities, it's such a distinct thing, and I think that's what we're shooting for, is not necessarily trying too hard to compete or to differentiate as much as to just do what we're doing and focus on that.
I don't even watch them.
What works? So.
Do you guys think it's been easier or harder with now that investigators have all this technology at their hands, iPads and tablets?
I think it's easier to scare the hell out of them. I mean, if you look at Lovecraft was a futurist. His guys didn't show up at the South Pole like without
the dog sled. They're coming in
triplanes with radio transmitters
and specialized drills.
Yeah.
I mean, At the Mountains of Madness is a techno thriller.
Yeah.
Right. And he's always, you know, bringing in, you know, at that time, cutting-edge research and cutting-edge...
Yeah.
Statement of Randolph Carter...
Yeah, it's the radio phone.
The radio phone that goes down in the...
So I would say nothing has changed because those tools can't parse the mythos. They just can't.
Yeah, I mean...
You have a lot of tools for getting a lot of information really quickly.
Which is not good.
Thank God you can correlate those contents faster and better than ever.
And we're going to be dealing with, you know, San and you know,
yeah.
I mean, wonderful thing is like YouTube videos of The Thing in the Woods in Alabama. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
That wonderful little floaty thing. I'll show it to you later. Anyway, is it a viral video? Is it a picture of a ghoul? Everybody's so worried. I uploaded it's Cthulhu coming out of his crypt. Someone would be like,
the world
it's the promo for the new J.J. Abrams film, right. Would be the general consensus.
As a playable thing, you know, I think one of the issues that you may be hitting at is that when it's easy to get information and to share information, when it's easy to communicate, you know, how do you keep it a mystery, right?
Well, by setting it in the CIA, where no one is ever getting information and sharing it.
The question is not necessarily, you know, do I have the technology to get information? is the person that has the information willing to share it with me, and do I have any reason to think that it's the truth?
Yeah.
And that, you know, so there's a lot of levels where investigations, you know, are still going to always be about persuasion and choices and trying to sift reality.
And going up under that hill in Vermont and finding out what's going on for your own self.
Yeah.
And something that we were talking about a couple nights ago about throughout Lovecraft's writing, there are a large number of protagonists who say, well, you know, I suddenly, having seen these glyphs written on the cave wall, I remember from when I read the Necronomicon, X, Y, and Z. Lots of people have read the Necronomicon, and their heads did not fucking explode when they read the Necronomicon. It's just later when they find out, oh, yeah. Shit, what's this delusional Arab from 700 AD
was stuff right.
What's that? I'm going to paraphrase Zach Galifianakis. You're flipping through it, reading the Necronomicon. Well, what bullshit? And until you see the giant tentacular thing described on page 36.
So the idea that this information might be better disseminated because they've scanned in the copy at Brown University, you know, and now have a digital copy of the Necronomicon. Who cares? It's all just some crazy Arab guy babbling, you know.
It's just folklore, and it's not, you know, that entertaining if you're not a folklorist, and it's obtuse and hard to follow and poorly reproduced until you find out it's real.
And all the versions online disagree, just like the versions of the Greater Key of Solomon disagree. There's 155 separate texts of it, all of them with different values and different things in the circles and different diagrams and different this and different that.
Here in America, we love us some Bible, and yet there's a whole lot of disagreement on what it says.
Yeah. I'll add something else from the mechanical perspective about investigation, and this is a little bit of something that I took on an angle from Robin Law's gumshoe system, where, you know, and he built this system for mysteries and said that, you know, there's never been a mystery that hinged on whether the investigator found the clue or not. And the direction I took that for Delta Green...
Never been a good mystery. Lots of terrible mysteries.
Okay. But the direction I took that for Delta Green is that I'm like, okay, my assumption when I'm writing the scenario is that the characters are on a collision course with the awfulness. And so the way I have been trying to recast roles to gather information is that, okay, if you fail, guess what? You're closer to the awfulness. You know, if you fail, you are one step closer to finding the deep ones.
Did you bring up your failed occult role and the result from
Well sacrifice?
That's an edge case. But if you succeed at your role, you know, you're closer to the confrontation with what you need to survive it. That when you fail the role, it's dragging you closer in the most dangerous possible way. So there's never a fail the role and move farther away from the peril. It's, you know,
I'd say the example from all sides is right on. You move the scenario closer in the worst possible way.
The example he's citing is where I totally blew an occult roll and I said, oh, yeah, I, you know, double zeros, and I'm like, clearly we are dealing with vampires here. You know, look at everything that's happened. You know, the footprints. Clearly, they flew in bat form. They get the missing blood. So we must arm ourselves with stakes and go confront them during the day. And
didn't go well.
And every, you know, all the other players are like, shit, yeah, he makes a compelling case. He's our native guide. You don't hire a native guide and then not follow his advice. We were all so fucked up.
Yeah, clearly the garlic had no effect.
Another thing.
Ross does nothing.
Another thing is just how to construct, you know, how you construct scenarios. You know, what Greg's talking about sounds exactly right, but I tend to build scenarios like snakes and ladders. You know,
yes, I agree completely.
There's chunks of content that are connected, and you may get set back. You may go down the wrong path, but there's always something to get you back in. There's always another option. And, you know, just walking away is always going to be an option. There's no 100% solution that won't feel completely like railroading. You know, you're on a B-2 bomber heading for Zabirsk. You know, good luck. I eject. You know, there's always that fuckwit who's there.
Runs out of the scenario. We'll get out.
Yeah.
And another topic related. Given everything that we have learned today about PTSD and the effects of violence and combat on human beings, is there going to be a mechanism for sanity loss actually getting into firefights?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I already wrote that for Delta Green in was it Eyes Only or Targets? I don't remember which.
Targets.
I think I think it goes back to Eyes Only, as a matter of fact.
Well,
I think
that was one of my first.
And we always ran it that way. Like Scott, you know, Scott had to put one in a Delta Green agent, I think, in one of my scenarios at some point.
No. We just had to do the horrible job of disposing of his body.
No, this was another scenario.
This was a different time you killed
him. It was a D. I think it was a D6. I think it was a D6. And no, it wasn't you. It was Bob Krueger. Sorry.
Okay.
He shot.
We're so easily mistaken.
He had to draw down on another Delta Green agent who was occupied by something. And he shot him, but it cost him a bunch of sand, and he never really recovered from that one.
So yeah, the fact that, you know, there's like you say, there's a much we're a lot savvier about what violence does to people these days than you know,
I don't mean 1997. It was mostly just chicken bones and feathers, really.
You know, Call of Cthulhu wasn't really written with that in mind. You know, I mean, I think, and Ken, you'd know this better than I would, but my understanding has always been that you know, what they had in mind was that you're going to role play it right, and if you're playing a psychopath, play a psychopath. If you're playing a normal person, then don't act like a psychopath.
And even then, I think it was as early as second edition that they started adding sanity loss for normal traumas. You know, seeing a corpse, killing a person, killing a person, things like that.
Yeah, making one doesn't cost you anything.
killing a person.
Oh, hell, the house rules are pagan. If we got characters who rolled them up and they've never been in combat and they have to pull the trigger on somebody.
yeah, Scott.
Okay, sure. Pull the trigger on somebody, and you're closest.
I'm just gonna pick that guy.
We go ahead and make people actually make a sand. Like for instance, if you realize that the only way out of the scenario is to murder a guy, not get in a firefight with him, not get in a life or death struggle, but you're like, we're just gonna drive up in our car while he's walking home from his job so he can go back to opening the gate to Azathoth in his basement, and we're just going to erase him on the side of the road with guns. The players end up having to roll sand rolls. They have to fail their sand rolls to do the crazy-ass thing of just gunning a guy down in cold blood while he's walking along whistling and, you know, maybe walking his dog and just shoot him right there in the middle of the street. You know, and
is he whistling "Call Me Maybe"? No such luck.
Yeah, no sand roll necessary.
You know, we had to do that when we realized...
Actually, then you have to make a sand roll to resist whistling along with him.
We realized the problem in the scenario was a combination of Terry and Terry Schiavo. So it was a little girl
we called it Carrie Shiloh
in a bed whose psychic powers were crushing people left and right around the neighborhood. Guys were being turned inside out and compressed into jello and shoved down toilets. And the body count is running towards double digits, and we can't make her stop. You know, at some point, you know, we're trying to use, okay, we'll use a Ouija board, and her psychic powers will move the planchette, and we can communicate, and we'll, you know, free her spirit or some bullshit like that. No, no communication. She just kills somebody else. We'll use Scrabble letters and she'll rage them into words. No, she just squashes them into the car. Finally, Brian Appleton's like, look, Scott, the meat log has got to go. We've got to kill her. And, you know, and that was fine to plan to kill a little 13-year-old girl who's laying in a bed, you know. But when we got up there and it was time to put the pillow over her face, everyone had to roll sand rolls. And if you made your sand roll, you couldn't do it. You couldn't kill a little girl. But if you blew it, you could. I rolled double lot, and I was like, yes!
Everything in my life has led me to this moment.
I've read nothing! But the best part was, Brian had to roll after I got the double lot. Okay, I'm doing this. And Crow says, you know, if Brian makes the sand roll and crits it, and crits the sand roll, he's going to stop you. So you're going to end up having a player character firefight in this little girl's room in an occupied house with her parents down the hall.
And so, yeah, that die roll, because we knew. They're here to fuck us. Yeah, oh, thank God. Yeah, so we successfully murdered the little girl.
But then a stray shot detonated her oxygen tank. It all worked.
But, you know, doing things like that so that you, to do the hard things actually becomes a sand contest.
Yeah.
To do the things like, oh, I can see the way through this. We just have to shoot that guy.
It should never be just forgettable and easy. Earlier.
What was that?
There's my Maggie example from earlier. Why is this timid old librarian with the delusions in our group? Oh, yeah.
Because she can do shit. Yeah. You bet.
Maggie's broken in a very useful way.
Maggie sees people as dolls. Yeah. Not happy dolls.
Yeah. You'll see later.
Easily brokeable snap dolls.
Yes. So she can break their strings, say. There's going to be psychological damage.
Absolutely.
Over the course of the game. Some of it will be... familiar, you know, oh my god, the Shoggoth, and some of it will be, I have to do what?
Use the spell.
If you want to play a character and have the privilege of being the guy who can pull the trigger without remorse, you know, that's an option, and there's going to be downsides.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to have those wife and kids things that are going to help you build your sand back.
Yeah, that's going to be very difficult unless you're the Iceman. You know,
you'll be sitting at home with a bag full of revolvers. One of them's got a bullet in it. Reach in, pull it out.
Yeah, that one's short. That one's short.
Yeah.
Then you'll go back to writing Delta Green Men.
Yeah. Well, although, you know, it occurred to me the other day as I was, you know, going over your rules whereby important things in your life restore your sanity or protect your sanity, and I'm like, you know, having a really kick-ass train set and being a serial adulterer and being a deeply, profoundly faithful Roman Catholic all work the same with these rules.
So what you're saying is triple word score.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're saying they work.
So you're saying you just need a train set.
Complete that.
Ross, you'll edit that part.
I think we'll go one more, probably. I think
one more question and then we'll wrap it up if there's last question out
so
there.
So what have we not told you that you really were dying to know about?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You talked about sort of tools for the keeper and players to kind of make their own game. Uh-huh. Is there any scope for advice for making it in your own backyard if you're not American?
Oh, that's tricky. That's real tricky. Nice to, No.
Wait for the Pisces supplement. Right?
Yeah, that was
you
great.
Know, it's, you know, I think ultimately the core book is going to have to focus pretty heavily on playing Americans in America. And that's
what we
sucks,
know, and
in
if
a
we
way,
try and write
but,
other stuff,
yeah.
we'll fuck it up.
You know, if it doesn't, then that's a big can of worms. You know what I mean? I mean, and that's suddenly a lot of pages get added. You know, and I think that's something that is absolutely going to be necessary to cover in depth. But I think in the core book, you know, that's going to get a light treatment.
Yeah, there'll almost certainly be a page or something that says, "Hey, valued foreign customers."
It's stupid to think that, you know, we're going to just talk about the America and not mention the rest of the world. You know, so
we've got it stuck in so many places.
I mean, in fairness, one of the advantages to being a global hyperpower is every other country has a security relationship with you, one way or the other. I mean, even the Chinese, even the Russians, even the Syrian Mukhabarat, right, have got guys on the CIA on their Rolodex, right, that they call. So if you live...
You're not really trying to overthrow us, are you?
Let me get back to you on that.
This call has never happened. You're calling me from your office. Step it up, Carl.
No, I mean, so if you're in Britain, obviously, you know, MI6 and MI5 both have long-standing relations with the American security establishment. So there's going to be a page or a couple of pages that say, congratulations, your country just happens to be one of the ones that during the great global war on terror, when everyone got to come to everyone's NCIC meetings, your country was the guys that said, hey, over here, are you using that abandoned graveyard about 100 miles outside your capital, because we kind of need it for something. And in exchange, we'll let you in on this Delta Green clearance. But don't tell, because we're totally not supposed to tell non-Americans. And then you'll be able to at least set up sort of a framework in which you're the maybe the only cell in MI5 or the only cell in in Italy or whatever it is that has the relationship.
Don't tell the Italians. What are you insane? Well,
but that's the point right there. The ones who have the Vatican Library. So there's
a deal with the Vatican.
So there's going to be a situation in which. Yeah, you know, we're not going to make everyone in the rest of the world play Americans, as hilarious as that no doubt is.
That would be sweet.
but you're going to wind up having to start with, at least before we get supplements out, some sort of relationship with the overarching American security establishment.
My solution to that would be that you don't need to be you don't need to know everything about how to be an FBI agent to play a Delta Green FBI agent. You don't need to know everything about being a Marine sniper to play a Delta Green Marine sniper. So by the same token, if you're in England and your group's in England and you're down with it, you don't need to be an American to play an American. You'll play Britain's Vision of America, which I would pay money to see.
Everyone's got a gun.
Look out!
Is anyone complaining that doesn't have enough American options in it?
Yeah.
Is anyone complaining that the laundry game doesn't have enough American options in it?
I'm sure someone is complaining because someone's always complaining.
There's not enough room for
Scott's kind of complaining right now.
Yes, he really
is. He's gearing up to it.
Yeah, he's getting ready.
But by the same token, we've also talked a lot about building this in such a way that it's going to be not all that difficult to play it, to play characters who are still outside the reservation. And that means that it's going to be pretty easy to play it with characters who are way outside the reservation, meaning, not in America.
Meaning, say, in America. The Indian, R&D unit instead of... Yeah.
It's not going to get a deep treatment initially.
No.
But we've already, we're already outlining supplements and source books, and that's absolutely part of it, because there's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of ground that's worth covering.
But again, it breaks reality if every single country turns out to have
like
their own
that.
Delta Green
right.
stuff.
No, that's not going to be.
What it's going to be is,
Botswana.
Yeah, York. I think we can all say that the odds are, there's going to be some connection with Britain just because the ties of the services go back so far.
It's a connection.
Right. A player group in Turkey and a player group in Italy and a player group in Romania and a player group in Slovakia and a player group in Slovenia and a player group in Estonia, and they're all playing the guy in the Balkans that has the Delta Green clearance. Delta Green doesn't actually have units and task relationships with all of those places.
But if you need to say they have one in your country, that's not going to be hard to do. You'll need to wing it at first.
Mechanically, it'll be supportable.
You may need to wing it forever if it's something that we don't have a reason to put a lot of effort into. But
your friend the Maldives or something.
Yeah, suck it, Nauru gamers.
Sorry, New Caledonia.
Maybe next time.
So
there French you go. Rules.
Okay. Sounds like that's it.
Yeah, I think that's about
it. Ross had one. Ross, is that it?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot,
guys.